This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Midrand today to chat to a familiar face in the industry, Rashad Shah, who has recently taken the reins of Liquid Telecom in South Africa. Rashad, it's great to have you back on the podcast. How long have you been here now, and why did you decide to take up this opportunity at Liquid?
Hi, Duncan. Yeah, thanks for having me out here again. I've been here now about 8 weeks, and it's of course a really interesting role. It comes with a massive portfolio of digital services, connectivity services, a significant data center play in the South African market, and I think overall really an exciting opportunity to make a significant difference in the landscape of the telecoms environment in South Africa. And that's what Liquid Telecom allows me to do. And importantly, it's a Pan-African play, and which really means that we can not just specifically focus on South Africa, with the African continent where it is in terms of its development, in terms of services that are available there. This is really a journey that would allow us to truly transform connectivity across the continent on the fixed side specifically, and deliver on the cloud agenda for the continent.
So, Rashad, you came to Liquid from Dark Fiber Africa, where you'd been for about 5 years. You were running some interesting projects there. You were the CEO of Squidnet, which is a pioneering Internet of Things provider in South Africa. It must have been a hard choice to decide to leave there, because I think Squidnet was just ramping up. It was starting to do some, it is doing some very interesting things. Was it a tough call to make?
Yeah, so at DFA, of course, I was doing the Chief Strategy Officer role, which I was doing for about 5 years. And I think about 4 years in is when we launched Squidnet, which, of course, focuses on IoT. Now, both those roles were quite interesting. And the work we were doing was also very exciting work, and some significant transitions that we were driving in the wholesale telecom space in South Africa. Squidnet, of course, the role that I played there was really orchestrating this team to be in a position to build and operate a network platform dedicated to IoT. And to a large extent, I think my work was, I wouldn't say done, but, the heavy lifting was completed, and it was really in the commercialization phase is when I left that business. Of course, it was a hard choice to make, but the transition to Liquid and the plethora of services and footprint that this business offers is significantly larger. And of course, the ambition of what Liquid Telecom shareholders have for the continent is also what's really, really attractive to me.
So 5 years at DFA. I know you have just returned from the US, where you were doing an advanced management program at Harvard University. What is your background? What did you study? What was your first job? How did you get into this industry?
So I studied information technology, which is an area of focus was in programming. So a developer by background, and started working in the development space in South Africa initially, but found an attraction to move towards telecom. So that was some 20 years ago is when I started working in the telecom space, and did very little work in South Africa since then until I joined DFA. And my focus in that space has always been working with telcos, in some cases as a vendor, in some cases as a management consultant, during my days at Cisco, where we were advising some of the largest telcos in the world, in Russia, Turkey, the Middle East, as well as North America, on new revenue strategies, on cost optimization models. So as a management consultant, your focus is very different. It's really an outcomes-based environment that you're working in. And then I decided to, you know, start working in South Africa again, and of course took up the role at DFA. And I think the local telecom space was quite attractive. It still remains very attractive, and had some interesting challenges that needed tackling, which, you know, I was very, very happy to do.
Mm. And DFA has had a big impact on the industry through its rollout of metropolitan long-distance fiber in South Africa. But you're at Liquid Telecom now. Let's talk a bit about Liquid Telecom, formerly, of course, known as Neotel. It's been through some challenging times in recent years. Before the Liquid group acquisition took place. When was that now? About 2-3 years ago?
So the acquisition closed in February 2017.
Oh, actually. More recent than that. Okay. So the company lost its CEO under controversial circumstances, and it was almost bought by Vodacom, only for that deal to collapse at the last minute under competition or regulatory scrutiny. What are the opportunities you see for this business, and also what are some of the big challenges it's facing that you're going to have to address in the short and medium term?
I think the point you make around, you know, the failed acquisition, and, you know, prior to the acquisition, of course, the previous shareholders wanted to exit, and hence conversations had begun. And whenever any business is going through a process of that nature, either through an acquisition process or just pre-acquisition, it really stagnates the business to a large extent. And and I say that because, of course, here we have evidence of such a stagnation, in that capital investments are then limited, growth opportunities are not pursued as aggressively, and overall, you know, energy is sapped out of a organization that actually had interesting roots in itself, you know, having transitioned from acquired Transtel, which is a government-owned entity, which then came into Neotel, which had a certain operating model. I think the combination of all of that and the stagnation that resulted from the failed acquisition really, you know, set the business back quite a bit. What was good to see, though, is that a number of our customers... The customers remained, and a number of the customers remained as well-served customers. There were and still remain some level of challenge in terms of providing an excellent, superior, world-class service, but we're changing that rapidly. So that level of stagnation, however, to jolt ourselves out of it, having with Liquid Telecom having acquired Neotel, you know, does require a large change management effort across the business. It does require a deeper look at the operating model to really work out the shift that needs to be made into a much more agile company, a business that's far more responsive than it is today, and one that really puts the customer at the center of what it offers and delivers. So that shift is really where we are at the moment, and driving that shift, driving the change that needs to happen. But importantly, recognizing where our customers are going. Now, our focus areas are, of course, SME, all the way through to larger businesses, enterprises, you know, the top 100 in the country. And on our wholesale side is to focus on internet service providers and other telecom operators in the country. So in the enterprise and SME space specifically, partnering with those customers on their journeys, and their journey is really about digital transformation. And the investments that Liquid Telecom has made, not just in South Africa, but across the continent, all have been directed towards that digital transformation journey that we will walk with our customers on. Just in South Africa, the investment has been close to R1 billion just in the data center space alone. And that is, again, to drive the digital transformation journeys that our customers are also going to be on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you see Liquid Telecom positioned in the South African market? I mean, it's a big industry. There's some big very big players out there. I'd probably describe Liquid as a mid-tier player with aspirations of becoming one of the large operators. How do you see yourselves positioned? What are your competitive strengths relative to the other operators out there?
Liquid Telecom is a pan-African connectivity provider, right?
Yeah.
So that's an important differentiator for us in that we're able to not just offer services in South Africa, mm-hmm. we could offer services today in at least 12, maybe 13 other countries, and that footprint is one that will continue to expand. So that's the one that we bring, and that's on our own network where we have operations, but also with partner networks on the continent. So that's an important contributor in our overall proposition that we take to not just the South African market, but the Kenyan market, the Zimbabwean market. It's really about what is that portfolio of connectivity that we could offer that facilitates not just businesses within a country, but businesses within a continent to operate more effectively. And that's a key contributor to how we position ourselves in the market. In South Africa specifically, we of course are playing catch up from a market share perspective due to that stagnation that has happened for some time. But in terms of the types of services we take to market, the capabilities that we are delivering with our cloud capability, our connectivity capability, our fiber footprint, our microwave footprint, our VSAT footprint, and also some specific LTE services that we focus in the SME space, we think that the portfolio of services that we bring to market is comparable and in some cases exceeds our competitors' offerings. Our partnership approach with customers is one that allows us to work closely to co-build their transformation journeys. And that's where a lot of our effort is going now, is to initiate those steps, walk that path with our customers, and truly bring a digital transformation to what their business requirements demand, not just for today, but for their own cost optimization into the future.
Okay. So let's talk about some specific areas. I know Liquid has invested very heavily in data center capacity in South Africa. You recently had a launch here of your new facility on this very campus. How do you see yourself as a data center operator, specifically in the South African context, relative to other data center providers in this market?
So the one distinguishing factor, which is an area that we focused on, is ensuring that the data center is carrier neutral. So in that launch that you referred to, you would have seen that we launched that data center with a different brand and different colors and different name and a different proposition to
Africa
market.
Africa Data Centers.
Yeah, South Africa Data Center Johannesburg and South Africa Data Center Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And that has some specific benefits for us as the Liquid Telecom Group, in that we're able to distinguish ourselves from the carrier part of the business, mm-hmm. by remaining carrier neutral and offering services to other carriers as well as to the market in general. And that is a proposition that allows us to continuously build on by partnering with various cloud providers, various service providers that want to take specific services to market as well. And since as I mentioned, a large amount of our investment has gone in there, it's us as a group recognizing that that's where some of the services that need to be delivered to customers need to come out of. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, an important way in which we go to market is through that data center.
Let's talk a little bit about the consumer market. When Neotel was originally launched, it was conceived as the second network operator in South Africa. It was a bit of a construct, as you mentioned, of different assets and people and et cetera. But the idea was, at least part of the idea was, that this company would be a competitor in the retail market to Telkom, which was then the monopoly in the South African environment. It did roll out some fixed wireless services, I think using CDMA technology. How big is that consumer component of the business today, and is it important going forward at all?
So the consumer component actually is quite small in relation to the rest of the revenue profile. And the consumer space has evolved significantly since the launch of Neotel, where fixed services was an important component of the portfolio at that stage. And I think the mobile operators have done a pretty good job of offering a wide variety of services that acted as replacement for fixed services. So while you might see telecom as being the leader in the consumer voice space or consumer connectivity space, you've had a change of landscape, the way mobile operators have managed to secure that consumer base. Neotel didn't invest a significant amount of money since the launch of the consumer business over the years. When Liquid Telecom took over the business, of course, we found it in a specific state with some really old technology, but also with some capability to continue to deliver consumer services. So we've also rolled out a small LTE network, specifically in Gauteng. We have a CDMA network that is in many of the major metros in the country.
So that's still running?
It's still running. We still have customers on it. We still have customers using services and generating revenue on it. And our focus, however, is going to require us to spend a lot more time, effort, and capital in the SME through to enterprise, as well as our wholesale telco space. And that means that we will not prioritize our market positioning and associated investment in the consumer space. Mm-hmm. So we're exploring a number of options right now in that consumer space, and we expect to make some changes there in the coming weeks.
Okay. So is selling off that consumer subscriber base?
So we're exploring multiple options, that's one of the options.
Right. Okay. Now you're sitting with some interesting radio frequency spectrum. You are, as far as I know, the only operator with digital dividend spectrum, sitting around the 800 megahertz, which is shared with the analog television broadcasters. Is there big potential in that spectrum to do something interesting with it? I mean, there's so much demand, especially from the big mobile operators, which are fast running out of spectrum, to deploy 3G, 4G, and in future 5G services. Is there an opportunity of some kind to use the spectrum assets that you have to maximize their potential?
The spectrum assets that we have, I think, forms an important component of our asset structure in terms of what we have that will be monetized. And right now, we're exploring multiple monetization models through partnerships that will allow us to use that spectrum quite effectively in the market. And so we're in the middle of a number of those engagements that will see a significant use of that spectrum.
Current regulations wouldn't allow you to sell that spectrum, would they?
Absolutely, it wouldn't. And all of the explorations we're currently doing, of course, are within what the regulations allow us to do.
Okay. Well, we've obviously seen what's happened with Rain and their partnership with Vodacom. Could we see some sort of similar project begin to emerge, perhaps possibly with another mobile operator?
So as of today, the options that we're exploring, at the minimum, we'll see from our perspective, a usage model that will enable us, as well as whoever we partner with, to experience some significant benefit from the use of the spectrum.
Just remind me what specific spectrum bands you have access to. I know it's 800 megahertz. Do you have 3.5 gigahertz as well?
Yeah, so we have 800, we have 3.5, and we have 1800.
Oh, you have 1800 as well. Okay. And what have you used those three bands to do?
So we've rolled out our CDMA network in the 800 space. Mm-hmm. We have some LTE coverage in 1800 as well as in 3.5.
All right. Okay. So watch this space. We'll hopefully see some interesting developments around there, because those spectrum assets must be a real valuable asset on your balance sheet, right?
They are indeed a really valuable asset to us.
Yeah. Great. Let's move on a bit. Let's talk a bit about the policy and regulatory environment in South Africa as it currently stands. We've got the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill on the table. We've got government wanting to create some sort of wholesale open access network structure. Things do seem to have gone fairly quiet on that front in recent months. But maybe just give us, in closing, Rashad, maybe just give me a broad overview of how you see the policy and regulatory environment in South Africa, what you'd like to see changed, and also broadly, what you think of the amendment bill and the proposed WOAN. I know there's a lot there.
That's a lot, yeah. So I see the regulatory environment as a important component in what I would call the ecosystem in which we operate as service providers, as well as, you know, customers and consumers and enterprises and government. And the reason I want to draw reference to it being an ecosystem is that in any ecosystem, there's going to be some level of balance, some level of participation, some level of normality that should prevail for it to be effective. And the second reason of bringing the ecosystem reference in is that there are roles for multiple of these participants to play, and those roles eventually get worked out. And you know, while you know, in a natural ecosystem, you know, that's happens through hundreds, if not thousands, of years of time past that ensures that the ecosystem isn't interfered with too much, and there's some level of balance that will always prevail. Here you have multiple agendas, multiple priorities. There are government priorities that must be addressed. There are priorities related to the citizen. There are priorities related to government themselves as a revenue earner to make further investments in the market. There are priorities that a mobile operator has, or fixed operator like ourselves has as well, that we would also want serviced. And I think that when you consider, the ECA amendment that's on the table, when you consider the thinking around having a wholesale open access network, you do see that priorities of different participants are being surfaced. And so I think it would be naive to think that we won't get to the point of having a wholesale open access network. And it'd also be naive to think that we won't be able to, or government won't allocate spectrum to mobile operators that currently service, the connectivity requirements of almost the entire population. Finding that balance where they all coexist, I think, is a difficult job for the regulator to, service those requirements, the citizen-centric government requirements, as well as the requirements that a mobile operator would have. And I think urgency must be applied to finding the roles that each of these participants need to play. But going into that activity, that exercise, that debate, without taking a very sober view of knowing that actually there will have to be participation by all of these entities, by all of these different priorities, is not necessarily the right approach to do it. I think as industry participants, we must recognize that our role to play there is, of course, to invigorate debate around what should be done, how it should be done, how it should be implemented. But we have to be pragmatic about it as well, knowing that there will have these priorities need to be served, and government needs to serve some of them. The regulator has to serve their priorities. The mobile operators have to service their priorities, which is to their shareholders and their customers. And government, it's to the citizen and to its revenue profile.
Do you think there are better options for the government to achieve what it wants to achieve than perhaps go through the model that they're proposing?
I think if we consider where we are from a timing perspective, we've lost a lot of time in terms of, you know, getting this allocation out, giving the spectrum out. Going back to the drawing board may not necessarily be the right option at this stage. What should happen is some level of fast tracking of the process in order to get an outcome that we could experience and determine that, okay, let's understand how this works. Let's see what the practical implications are. Let's see if we can implement it, right? And until we get there, it's too difficult to theoretically constantly, you know, debate why it should or shouldn't happen. You know, there are different ways in which that could be addressed. But, you know, and lots of people talk about how this has failed in other markets around the world. We're actually quite different from many of those markets that get referenced. That's the first thing. The second thing is that unless we move into implementation, we're not going to be able to fail. So let's fail faster at it and learn from it, and then possibly make, you know, the right choices if we do fail.
So there's far too much talking and not enough doing going on in this industry now. Richard, before I let you go, we're starting to see some consolidation happen in the space. There was the announcement a few, I think it was about 2 months ago now, of CIVH and Vumatel. There's been talk here and there about possible deals happening. Do you see consolidation happening in this market in the short to medium term? And if so, will Liquid Telecom be a keen participant in that consolidation, looking to make acquisitions?
So Liquid Telecom, its focus and our focus across the group is to really grow our, depending on the market that we operate, our SME through to enterprise and wholesale business. And if there are opportunities in the market that allows us to expand on that market share, then absolutely we'll look at them. And if it makes sense, we'll pursue them aggressively in order to increase our market share. So in each of the territories that we operate, in some places we do operate FTTH networks, we operate consumer businesses, and a significant focus in that specific market is in that case, multiple market segments that includes consumer. So in South Africa, however, you know, we're a little bit different in that we don't have a deep consumer focus, but if there are opportunities that allow us to increase our market share in from SME to large enterprise, even in the wholesale space, we will pursue those.
Great. Richard Shah is CEO of Liquid Telecom South Africa. I look forward to hearing about some of the developments you've hinted at this podcast today. Thank you for talking to Tech Central.
Thank you, Duncan.